Hey, it's Nick Halkett here for 88.5 Live, and I'm really happy to welcome, I was going to say to the studio, but they're in their studio or somewhere in LA. It's the combined forces of Evelyn Cormier and Jacob Snyder. They are Moxie Blossom, and I had a few problems getting this set up, so nice to meet you guys, and thanks for coming and hanging out with me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So I got an email, I guess, about a month ago from a guy who you're working with, David Andreone, who I had known. I mean, look, if you stick around in the music business and you stay alive long enough, people just sort of cycle back around, right? And I hadn't seen David for a long time. He was doing A&R for somebody 10 years ago when we last spoke, and he sent me your song, and I loved it and played it. And here we are a month later, and I know there's a little bit more going on since I played it. Some other people have picked it up. But why don't we start off by talking a little bit about you separately and individually? Because I know you've only been working together for about a year and a half or so, right? Maybe, Evelyn, you could start off by telling me a little bit about your background. You're in LA, right? You live in LA.
Yeah, so I just moved to Los Angeles about a year ago from New Hampshire, where I lived my whole life. And it was a really interesting year to have moved to LA for music.
Sure. Yeah.
But you know, things still happen. You gotta adjust and adapt to the way things have been this past year. And if it wasn't for the pandemic, not saying this was good by any means, but good things came out of it, and it kind of forced us to find new ways to make music. And I reached out to Jacob, and we started collabing over Zoom, and you know, that all happened.
So what was your background before you got here?
Yeah, before I got here, I've been doing music my whole life. You know, I've always been a writer, and that's always been something I've been super passionate about, like creative writing, that kind of stuff. But when I started developing my sound, which really nobody in my family or around me thought I had any talent vocally or musically until I was about like 10 or 11, you know, once I started developing that, I shifted gears from, you know, my journey on creative writing to songwriting. And then I was in a band with all adults by the time I was 13, with people who were supporting me and, you know, encouraging me. And then by the time I was 15, I was like playing out at local places pretty regularly. Like, just, I was a high school kid on this very adult schedule of like, you know, a 3-hour set every week. So, I mean, it was pretty crazy, but I've loved it. I've been, you know, I grew up in the church, so I was doing church music. So that's kind of where I got my early start. But that's just a little bit about me musically.
Yeah, I was going to ask, when you say you're doing a 3-hour set, what kind of music were you playing? What was in a 3-hour set?
A 3-hour set. I mean, that's just kind of like the, you know, you got to do your time when you're an up and coming artist and you're playing like restaurants, bars, whatever. They're like, hey, play for 3 hours. So that's probably like a 30 song set. So I was playing top 40s. I was playing originals too, like just like sprinkling them in. But yeah, it was intense. I've played in a family band my whole life. So my dad would play guitar out with me at my shows. My brother would play the keys. My dad taught me how to play guitar. So it's very much a family effort. And they've even played a lot on my personal tracks and things in the studio.
Right. So, Jacob, tell us a little bit about your background. Now, you live in Maine. Are you from Maine?
I'm originally from outside of Philadelphia. I was born outside of Boston, but spent most of my life outside of Philadelphia. But we've always spent a lot of time in Massachusetts and in Maine my whole life. So when I was living in New York when the pandemic hit, and my girlfriend and I, we felt like this could be a good opportunity to leave the city and be up in Maine, where I'd spent a lot of summers.
And
we just went, you know, we've been in a really, just a really quiet town and really not doing much of anything. And that's why it was so interesting that, you know, on a Tuesday, I got a text from Evelyn saying, hey, would you want to try to write a duet? Would you want to maybe write together and maybe we could release it? It could be like a single or a one-off, and we could just, it could be like Jacob and Evelyn or Evelyn featuring Jacob, and we'll just release the song.
Sure.
And then the next day you said, you know, after we really wrote I'd Rather Be the Moon and we were listening back to it, Evelyn was like, maybe this could be something that has a name. It could be an entity of its own. It's maybe where we could put our songs together. It doesn't have to just be me featuring you or you featuring me. And so that's the thing, is that we actually have only been making music for 5 weeks, not a year and a half.
That's insane.
I mean, we feel the same way. It's just been such a whirlwind. And, you know, after we wrote the song, I'd Rather Be the Moon, like that was the first time that we've collaborated together. And we're like, wow, okay, this feels like something special and something that's not me. It's not Jacob. It had, you know, something of its own. And so I was like, let's start a band. And coming from me, like I've been hustling since I was 13 years old. You know, I wasn't necessarily looking to start a different band. I've got a solo career, but after we collaborated and I felt like I had that magic, I'm like, let's combine forces. Let's start a band. And Jacob's like, let me sleep on this. Let me get back to you.
So you've recorded a couple of songs for us that we're going to play. And I think this might be the natural opportunity for us to play the first one. And why don't we play that, the single? Because that's the only one I've heard. And then we'll get to the other two. So tell us, before we listen to it, a little bit about what the song's about, where the lyrics came from, and how quickly this song did actually come together over the Zoom.
You want to take some of that?
Yeah, sure. Good. I'll start and then you finish it. Basically, the central theme of this song is about, you know, two lovers who've lost their way and trying to communicate and it becoming increasingly harder, and until one of the people in that relationship says, like, I'd rather be the moon, because being the moon would be easier than trying to deal with the changes of your tides and the changing of your oceans and the moodiness and the unexpectedness. And, you know, we collaborated, you know, at every lyric has been a collaboration, to the point where I can't remember, oh yeah, that was my line, that was Evelyn's line or whatever. But the line that I love is, you choose mystery instead of my security. And that's kind of the central part of it.
Yeah, no, and you know, I mean, you've been in music long enough to know that not every single song comes together quickly. I mean, some songs take a lot more effort than others and a lot more analyzing, but when we knew the song was special was how quickly and how fast the lyrics, the music, the melody, everything just fell into place and it felt locked in. And I think Jacob said that when he finished producing it and he listened back, it was like he was listening to something that he had his hands off of, that he was hearing for the first time. And it was this real magic moment. You know, and there's a handful of songs, I think, for us that just have happened like that, just poured out of us. Like it existed inside of us. So right. It's just kind of coming to fruition.
Well, why don't we check out that recording you made of I'd Rather Be the Moon, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. We're talking with Jacob and Evelyn. Collectively, they are Moxie Blossom, and this is I'd Rather Be the Moon.
Have you ever skipped a start in the waves? There'd be no halos trailing away. Put my faith in your heart-shaped stone, sunk me down, down. I should have known. Looked up from the ocean floor, watched the moon pull the tide back to shore. Even control the rising and the falling tide.
I'd rather be the moon.
You choose mystery instead of my security.
If you told me to build our castle in the sand, I would say your wish is my command.
You never did.
I would callous my hands for you over sea glass.
If you asked me to sail in a storm, I'd captain the ship while you're safe on shore.
I'd rather be the moon.
rising and the falling tide.
I'd rather be the one
you choose, mystery instead of my security. I can't stop the ocean, you can't change the tide. Let those white horses ride.
I'd rather be the one
control the rising and the falling tide.
I'd rather be the one
you choose, mystery instead of my security.
I'd rather be the one
control rising in the falling tower. You choose mystery instead of my security. I can't stop the ocean, you can't change the tide. Let those white horses.
I'm Nick Harcourt, and this is 88.5 Live at home. I'm at home here in Woodland Hills. They're somewhere in LA. Where are you guys right now?
We're in Eagle Rock.
Oh, yeah. That's where all the hipster kids are these days. You know that. So that was fantastic. And that was the first song that you wrote together. I think when we first started talking, you said, oh, let's just try something. If it doesn't work, it doesn't, you know, there was no real expectations of anything happening. But it sounds like you knew that you'd kind of got lightning in a bottle pretty quickly with that one. Did you know you were going to do more right afterwards? Or has that come since a little bit of airplay and a little bit of attention?
Yeah, we knew that, okay, this feels special, and this, you know, this feels amazing. Things are happening for this song, but the biggest question for us is, can we recreate what we did? Or was this more of like a one-time thing? You know, I mean, not every song happens like that. And so we were like, okay, before we commit to being in a band and, you know, turning this into something bigger than it has to be, let's do another writing session. Let's see what comes out of it. Mm-hmm. And then we wrote a song called Give Up the Ghost. Mm-hmm. And that song just kind of flowed out, and we were really feeding off of each other's inspirations and ideas. And I think that's when it kind of locked in for me.
Yeah. But
what do you think?
Yeah. I think, you know, David texted me after our second session and he said, how did it go? And I remember texting him back, super easy, super easy. Like, no part of it was feeling, I don't know. There's something, a really natural rhythm and of writing lyrics, of crafting melodies. I feel like when you're writing songs, it's like, if the way I like to do it is, you're always editing on the fly. You're making choices really quickly, but you're making tiny choices that could lead into having a big impact. So if you are collaborating with someone who also works that way, it's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're able to be like, oh, let's try this. Let's try it once. Let's try it twice. If it didn't work the second time, it's not going to work. That idea is done. Okay, let's try a new one. And it's like a kind of, you converge on the idea eventually. Mm-hmm. But I think we actually have a similar style with that in terms of editing on the fly and trimming the fat in real time. So I'd rather be the moon was two and a half hours top to bottom.
That's unreal. Let me ask you this. We haven't really gotten to this yet, but you guys met on American Idol. Now, was that at auditions? Were you on the show? I don't watch it. I'm sorry. I watched it once about 10 years ago. I figured I'd done my time on that. But how did you guys meet?
I feel like we met on the audition day.
Yeah.
Like, I think Jacob was the first person that I met on the show. And we have a similar story. What was that?
Where were you? Was that in Boston or somewhere?
New York City, right? New York City. And I think we have a similar story on how we ended up on Idol. Idol has a lot of different talent scouts scouring on like Instagram, wherever else they can find. And they reached out to us and said, hey, can you do these private auditions? You know, that's the majority way of how they cast, other than their big open cattle call, that kind of thing. And so I feel like we had the same mindset, like follow it through, see what happens. And we ended up meeting each other on the show, and we even worked together on the show too. I mean, we made it to a certain part where we had to collaborate with other artists on the show, and we ended up paired together, and we had a great time. I mean, clearly we kind of kept a friendship from that.
Right. Yeah. So that was the beginning of it. And obviously, as you said, Evelyn, you moved out to LA. You moved out in the middle of the pandemic, early in the pandemic?
No. I moved out when things were looking just amazing, optimistic. Everything was great. October 2019.
Oh, so 4 or 5 months before.
Yes. So good. Those months were so good.
So when did you decide, or where were you at in your pandemic madness or quarantine where you're like, I got to make some music, and you reached out to Jacob?
A month and a half ago, I've had one of Jacob's songs on my playlist for a while. So, you know, I'm cleaning the house, doing whatever, and his song came on. And I just thought, wow, like, Jacob's so talented. I love his style. It'd be amazing to do some sort of collaboration. And I'm like, I've got his number. Let's just send him a message and see what happens. And I remember like typing it out and then deleting it, because I'm like, maybe he's going to think it's weird that I'm just like contacting him out of the blue. And it's like, let's make music. But I did. And then he got right back to me and was completely down to do a Zoom call, figure something out. And, you know, it wasn't like we scheduled it weeks later. We hopped on that inspired thought like immediately. So.
And then, as you said, you then regrouped again and did a second song, the one you were just talking about, right?
Correct.
Give Up the Ghost.
Is that the next one we're going to listen to?
Sure.
There is, yeah. I don't know what order the videos are in, but yeah, Give Up the Ghost.
Let's listen to that one, Keep Up the Ghost, and it's Marks the Blossom. I'm Nick Harcourt, and this is 88.5 Live at Home.
Come back to you. Will it all come back? Will it all come back to you? Will it all come back?
So that song feels, it feels like it comes from the same writers, but it feels a little different. What were you going for with this one? And again, was it a collaboration on the lyrics as well?
Yeah. Lyrics. I was gonna say something about the music, and then Evelyn can say something about the lyrics maybe, which is that this one, I think I remember playing the chords to the chorus at the piano and having a melody with some chords. And Evelyn had mentioned, like, hey, if you ever have anything, even if it's just a sketch, just doesn't have to be fully fleshed out, just send it over. Send it over. And so we started that kind of like really open line of communication, where, because not everybody works that way. There's some people who, like, they want to see a finished idea, or maybe an idea that's at 90% before you're bringing it to them. And that's one way of working. But the other is like, I've got this one brick. Like, do you want to make a house from this brick?
Sure.
And I think we really do.
Yeah. Like, you sent me that piano riff in a voice memo that I was like listening to during the week. And like, I was hearing melodies, or I was hearing, like, seeing kind of imagery of maybe topics to be, this song would be about.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how we work, is usually like a little, some sort of riff or concept, I guess. Mm-hmm. And lyrically, I think that it's another sort of relationship song where it's a failing relationship and talking about how difficult it is to give up this kind of part of who you are, this relationship that had gone on so long. That I think one of my favorite lines is like, I see your ghosts down every New York street. So it's like, you literally can't let go. And that's what the song's about.
Yeah. See, go ahead.
I was going to say, did you trade off on lyrics on this one, or was this more Evelyn's lyrics?
No, I mean, every single song we are, our hands are so intertwined with every single aspect. I mean, everything.
So how do you do that? I'm intrigued to know that. Cause I don't think I've ever had an interview with a guy and a girl who are writing lyrics together for the same song. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the question is around it, to be honest with you. Because, you know, we all have our backgrounds, and we all have our failed relationships, and, you know, all the things that are food for, you know, for the hopper of, you know, creativity. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people will write from experience. They'll write about their lives. Some people write for characters. How did you trade off lyrically on any of these songs?
Let's see. I think it's, you know, a similar process to the music, is where we'll just throw something out. I mean, I'm trying to remember specifically for Give Up the Ghost. I don't know. Help me out.
Just like, I might spout off a line and he's like, you know what? What if we change this word? Or what if we, he's like, that's a cool, like, I really like this concept. Let's think of a different way we can say it. So we're kind of like workshopping our ideas, or we'll sit down for 10 minutes and we'll tell a story about something that's happened to us that we want to pull from, or, you know, finding parallel stories in our life. Because I mean, love lost is such a relatable concept, I think, for anybody who's over the age of like 16 years old, you know what I mean? And just having some sort of story, some sort of memory that can connect you guys in a song where you're pulling from very similar moments in time. And I think that we found that for Give Up the Ghost, and we do that for every single song.
So that was the second song you wrote, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you said the first one was 5 weeks ago. When did you write that one?
It must have been 3 days later.
Right. Okay. So pretty quickly. And then what's been going on since then? I mean, how many songs have you written now? I know you've got another one we're going to play in a moment, but how many songs have you written? And have they all been over FaceTime or Zoom? Because you're obviously in the same space this week. I know that, Jacob, you came into LA, but there's three questions in there. Number one, yeah. how many songs have you now written?
We're having an argument about this in the car.
Yeah, I swear we've only written six songs, but Jacob said there's seven. I don't know what that seventh is.
There's an elusive seventh one that is in some folder somewhere. Maybe it exists, maybe it doesn't. But it's about six or seven.
Yeah.
It must have been nice, obviously, to get some attention for that first song. And I'm happy that we were able to, you know, I think we were the first people to play it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We really couldn't be more appreciative of that, Nick. It means the world to us.
Yeah.
Well, it's our pleasure. My pleasure. Because I liked it, so I played it. I mean, that's my gig. It's like, if I like it, I want to evangelize and let other people hear it. But you just came out to LA at the beginning of this week, I think, right, Jacob?
Yeah.
So have you been writing, or have you just been sort of trying to figure out what the hell you're doing with this project?
So definitely not the second. You know, I've been so excited this week being here. It's been a whirlwind. I hadn't seen Ev in like a year and a half. And we have had an entire collaboration over Zoom and FaceTime, a combination of Zooming and also doing voice memos on the phone, sending text messages with those voice memos, and compensating for the delay that sometimes happens when you're sharing your screen, because it's been difficult to actually record at the exact same moment. Although there have been times when I've done a vocal take while, you know, Evelyn is on FaceTime, the Logic session is pulled up, I'm singing into a microphone, and it's coming in maybe, you know, 200 milliseconds back. But there is something in the laziness of that latency that I actually love. So even though I adjusted it a tiny bit, a lot of this music has a little bit of what I'm calling Zoom delay. And kind of, it's like I'm pretty much back on the beat. My vocal parts, they're always just getting there. I mean, not as much as, you know, like the great, great jazz singers or something, but I'm back a little bit back.
It's just sort of slightly back behind everything.
Exactly. Everything of mine is a little bit back.
So what's the plan? What are you guys going to do now?
We were talking about it over burgers last night.
Yeah.
We want to keep making music, keep writing this music in person and over FaceTime and Zoom. And we want to tour this music. And I was talking about like, what could our van look like? And what kind of food could we get used to eating while we're doing it? And I've talked to, you know, when I talk to the great artists who are, you know, indie artists or singer-songwriters, pop artists, whoever, like you were talking about the grind, it's like, for most people, it's like the first 7 years surviving on ketchup sandwiches in a van. And we'll probably play all sorts of gigs, but I think it would be amazing. And the initial groundswell, it's not like a giant fire, but it is a brush fire.
Sure.
And it's been something that has inspired us. And we released I'd Rather Be the Moon, and you were the first to play it. And since then, now it's coming up on 10,000 streams on Spotify, and we just hit 4 weeks today. It's 4 weeks to the day that Moon's been out.
Wow.
And we were up at 10,000. So if 10,000 times 12 is
hopefully, yeah, I
maybe
mean,
more.
That'd be amazing. Sure. And well, I mean, there's exciting things happening that, you know, we haven't quite announced yet, but there's some exciting things for us in the works that, you know, contracts are being passed around. Things are looking very exciting and interesting for Moxie Blossom for the next 6 months, I'd say.
Well, great. You're going to give me a call first when you can tell us.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
What's the final song that you're going to play for us?
It is called Tongue Tied.
Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah. So this one, we kind of got into this interesting little conversation about hometown love, like your hometown, this, you know, the relationship that you have in your hometown with somebody, and it's unique and it's special, and there's something really interesting about it, or even scary about the idea of going home and running into this person at the grocery store or whatever, and just taking those emotions and turning it into more of a real fun, kind of quirky song. What do you, anything you want to add about Tongue Tied?
Yeah, I mean, we just were focusing on that moment of unexpectedly running into someone that you did not plan on seeing, and who in some way, like, either broke your heart or you had some...
left some sort of mark on
some
you.
Some mark. And the actual moment of, you know, I was describing to Evelyn the moment for me of, like, in a concert venue, it's dark, you know, there's drinks around, the band just finishes a song, my eyes are just sort of looking into the crowd, and then all of a sudden you see that someone is staring directly at you and looking right at you, and you realize it's your ex, and you haven't seen them in so long, and their hair is different, and then all of your, like, all of the air leaves your, like, body, you can't just talk, you don't know words anymore, suddenly you're asking them, like, questions like, how's your family? It's weird.
Yeah, just, oh yeah, all the awkwardness tied into this song.
Well, thank you for, I guess, kind of premiering at least a version of these songs for today. We appreciate it. When do you think, obviously you're talking, things are going on, contracts, etc. so clearly, there's going to be more music coming out at some point. Do you see any of these tracks coming out as singles, or are you going to be working on doing an EP or an album?
Well, I don't know the release schedule yet, but we are going to have a lot more Moxie Blossom music this year, and likely in the next few months.
Right.
Maybe something really special in the fall. But along the way, I mean, I don't think there's any way, no matter who says what to us, that we don't release music this summer.
Yeah.
This summer music is coming out, and you'll definitely be the first to hear it.
Well, and hopefully you'll be able to perform in the not too distant future in front of some people. It does seem to be, I got my second shot today. So
congrats.
Yay.
Congrats.
And it does seem that it's different in different parts of the country, I guess. I think LA has actually done pretty well with the vaccinations, and I think they're opening up to pretty much everybody on the 16th, I think.
Great.
What about up in Maine? Are they getting the vaccines out there? I mean,
Maine is doing pretty good. They're one of the states that is opening up all vaccinations, I think, in the next month or so.
Right.
And I'm getting my first shot on Saturday, so right. I'm excited.
So maybe you'll be back in LA later on this year for a show at, I don't know, the
Absolutely.
Cafe or somewhere like that.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Well, it's been really cool to meet you guys. I mean, obviously we're talking now on camera, and, you know, we're doing our sort of professional thing. But on a personal note, it's not that often that I hear a song and want to play it straight away on the radio. I mean, it happens, and I love it when it happens, but it doesn't happen that often. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to, you know, put your music out there. And I can't wait to see what comes next.
No, thank you. We're super excited. I mean, you know, you don't always feel super, super passionate about every single project that you're doing, but Moxie Blossom is a highlight in my life right now. And I'm super excited.
All right, we're going to go out with this last song. Tongue Tied?
That's it.
Yeah, Tongue Tied. It's great to see you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank
Good
you,
seeing
Nick.
You.
It's been a year or two. 100 miles, still too close to you. Gave it time to close my open wounds. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can never give you what you wanted. You were never meant to be my way back home.
Way back.
Way back home.
Not looking for it.
Way back.
Not looking for it.
Way back
home. Ooh. Ooh. Not looking for it.
Way back.
Not looking for it.
Way back.
Ooh. was the 4th of July. You made the breath leave my body. I tried to speak and I was tongue-tied. And it's crazy how you can make me feel like a weirdo, even though it's been over a year though. Away from home, not looking for a way back. Not looking for a way back home. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh. Not looking for a way back. Not looking for a way back home. I see a silhouette in the hot summer sunset. I can't feel my feet below. I can't hear the fireworks show. My phone turns into a bomb. There's four letters on my tongue. When I see your text light up, every part of me shuts up. Hometown, tongue tied. Hometown, tongue tied. Not looking for a way back. Not looking for a way back home. Not looking for a way back. Not looking for a way back home.